Again, that's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 14 through 21, page 603 of the Pew Bible. Oh, excuse me, it's 604. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. May God bless the reading of his word. I now invite Pastor Pat up to share God's word with us.
Good morning, Crossbridge family. Good morning. I hope that you have had a fantastic Christmas and that you are ready to step into the new year. And as we say goodbye to 2023 and welcome 2024, let's remember one thing. God does not want us stuck looking back. Take, for example, Thor from that 2019 movie, Avengers Endgame. Thor, as we know, is this tough guy who loses his way, drowning in the what-ifs and the old regrets. But here's the point. He learns that his past mistakes don't have to determine his future. By facing his fears and getting a little help from his friends, he steps up and finds fresh purpose and meaning. And that's just like us. Isaiah 43 tells us that God makes all things new. We're meant to move past our regrets and look forward with excitement to what he's planned for us. As Thor found a fresh start, we're also invited to embrace the new life God's laying out in front of us. You see, when God says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing," he's basically telling us to leave our old stories behind and step in to this bright future filled with faith and hope. And here's my prayer for us as we are on the eve of 2024, that God would lead us into his future with fresh vision and renewed strength to match. You see, the past is done and dusted. But God's got even better days waiting for us. Crossbridge, do you believe it? He's got something incredible in store for us through Christ. So no matter how dark the past was, your future is shining brightly. And for anyone feeling that weight of loss, yes, there is time for those tears and lament. But clinging to what's gone is not going to help. Through his prophet Joel, God promises to restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And that comes from Joel chapter 2, verse 25. So instead of grieving over what's been lost, let's look to God who is able to restore twice over whatever has been lost. Even if you've had a tough year, remember that our God specializes in comebacks. He's all about fresh starts and second chances. As God prompts us to look forward from the old to the new, let us prepare our hearts for the wonders he promises. with eyes forward and spirits attentive. Let's embrace the new thing that is popping up before us. Now, let's pray and commit ourselves to the Spirit's leading. Gracious God, we bow our heads and hearts seeking your guidance. May your word lead us and your Spirit build us up as we walk in your truth. Amen. And as we lift our heads up in prayer, let's plunge into Isaiah's prophecy, a time when Israel was under the thumb of Babylon, the big bully on the world stage of the time. Isaiah steps up as God's spokesman, delivering a message that cuts through the fear and uncertainty of that time. This isn't just ancient history. It's a lesson for us here at Crossbridge on how our modern-day challenges can be met with the same divine assurance. When Isaiah says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel," it's like he's underlining and bolding God's promise. This isn't some distant, uninvolved deity. This is your personal rescuer, your Redeemer, stepping into the chaos to claim you as his own. It's as if God is saying, "I've got this. You are mine." The historical backdrop of this prophecy is also no small deal. Israel is on the edge with the superpower Babylon threatening their very existence. But God, through Isaiah, isn't just making empty promises or merely, as the phrase goes, whistling in the dark, a phrase that means trying to keep up courage when things are looking scary. Instead, he's laying down foundation for a real solid hope. This is a promise that's as dependable in times of trouble as it is in times of peace. And just like Israel faced their Babylon, we've got our own challenges, whether it's personal conflicts, peer pressure, or even the daily grind. The big takeaway is this: that the same God who had Israel's back has ours too. Moving to verses 15 to 17, we see God laying out his credentials. We read, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." And he doesn't say this to express his power, but he says this to state the relationship. He's not just a creator. He's your creator. And he's not just any king. He's our king. It's a reminder that no matter how messy life gets, God's in control. And he's personally invested in our story. Now, have you ever been taught, or perhaps you discovered this on your own, that the book of Isaiah is like a mini representation of our Bible? Not because it's the second longest book in the Old Testament, but because of the arrangement of its chapters. Now, here's a question for you Bible quizzers. How many books are in the Old Testament and how many are in the New? Go ahead, shout it out. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, which adds up to what? 66, which is the same number of chapters that we have in Isaiah. Furthermore, Isaiah is divided roughly into two parts by theme. Chapters 1 to 39 corresponds to the destruction that God brings as judgment against men's immoral acts. And chapters 40 to 66 correspond to God's salvation and hope. And let me leave you with two more factoids about Isaiah. First, his name. His name means Yahweh, or the Lord is salvation. Second, the prophet has been referred to as a messianic prophet and Paul of the Old Testament because his writings, like Apostle Paul's letters in the New Testament, focus on the Messiah and his message
of salvation and hope. And that is why we can look with such great confidence to Christ in the writings of Isaiah. So when Isaiah refers to physical deliverance, he means for us to see this is how we are to recognize the true Messiah. Consider what you can learn from Luke chapter 4, verse 16, when he stands up in the synagogue and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. Jesus is not just giving a Sunday school lesson. He's announcing, hey, you remember that liberator that Isaiah talked about? That's me. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is the ultimate game changer, offering not just a way out of our physical bondage, but he offers us a total spiritual overhaul. So what's this got to do with us? You see, it's all about perspective. Knowing that God navigated Israel through their mess and that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that promise, this gives us solid hope to stand on. It means that no matter what we're up against, we're not going to be picking up the pieces by ourselves. God is actively involved, turning our mess into a message and our trials into triumph. Now, you see, with these truths in heart, let's pivot to what lies ahead. God is actively crafting a future filled with hope and promise. So can we step up and shake off the dust of yesterday and march into tomorrow with confidence, knowing that the God of Isaiah is the God of Jesus, and he is our God too? Let's embrace this journey, not as a solo sprint, but as a corporate marathon. Are we a team? Can we cheer one another on as we move into the exciting plans God has for us in 2024? So moving forward in Isaiah 43:18-19 invites us to a powerful shift in that perspective. In the NIV, we read, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." It's a divine call not to dismiss our history, but to rise above its hold. This is about embracing change, trusting that the same God who has guided us before is now leading us toward new horizons of promise and of growth. Let's lean into this trust and open our hearts to the transformative work that God is revealing. Now, I want us to consider the magnitude of what it means to let go. The former things, our past victories and wounds, can become like chains that tether us to a stagnant faith. But God is inviting us to a fresh, dynamic faith, a journey marked by growth and renewal. As we release these chains, we open ourselves up to the new thing. Can you see this cross bridge? We read in verse 19, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" It's the fresh opportunities for faith, the unexpected avenues of service, and the novel ways that God is calling us to live out his love. Now, picture the imagery of God making the way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As we see in verse 19, "I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." It's a vivid portrayal of the impossible made possible. Where we see barrenness, God sees a canvas for creation. Where we see the end, God sees a new beginning. These are not just physical landscapes, but they are a spiritual reality. In our spiritual wilderness and deserts, God is working to bring forth life, abundance, and growth. It's a testament to his power to renew and rejuvenate every aspect of our lives. But let's take this vision yet deeper by looking to Christ, the embodiment of this new creation. In his life, his death, his resurrection, we see the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He is the way in the wilderness, the river in the desert, bringing salvation, hope, and transformation. And this work didn't end with his resurrection and ascension. It continues today through his Spirit, through us. As we follow Christ, we become part of this ongoing new creation. We're agents of change in a world thirsting for the living waters that he offers. And yet, as we embrace this already but not yet tension, we find ourselves living in a world that is still groaning for its full redemption. We experience the kingdom now in healed relationships, transformed lives, and moments of divine beauty and goodness. But we also yearn for its complete realization where, as we read in Revelation 21, verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This tension is not a space of despair, but it's of hope and action. It propels us forward, fueling our mission and ministry with urgency and expectancy. So as we reflect on what former things that we need to let go of, let's also consider this new thing God is doing in and through us. What might this look like in your life? What does it look like here at Crossbridge? It could be breaking habits that resist and oppose that very Sabbath culture that we seek to establish. It could be changing that long-held perspective that you hold about church leadership and the projects at this church. Or it could be stepping out in faith to build bridges wherever you live, you learn, and you labor. Let God stretch your imagination. It's about being open, expectant, and responsive to the Spirit's leading. In sum, these verses call us to a journey of faith marked by release, renewal, and anticipation. It invites us to participate in the unfolding story of God's redemptive work, a story that moves us from past into promise, from wilderness to watered gardens, and from old to new. Verse 19. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Can we embrace this journey together with our eyes wide open to the new thing God is doing right now and right here, right through us here at CBCGB? Now, as we turn to verses 20 to 21, our focus shifts to the tangible ways God sustains us. The Lord doesn't just promise change. He provides for it by bringing water to the wilderness and rivers to the desert. Indeed, as we recognize God's unfolding promise, our hearts are steadied by hope that is more than wishful thinking. As Dr. R.C. Sproul insightfully puts it, hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. I wish that such and such would take place. Rather, it is that which latches on to the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made. This anchoring hope is not just for our individual journeys, but it is for our collective strength as we, the body of Christ, navigate through life's wilderness together. Armed with this steadfast hope, let's now pivot from anchoring in God's promises to actively stepping into his streams of provision. This part of scripture reminds me that trust is not passive. It's a call to recognize and act on the provisions God graciously sets before us. So first, let's look at God's promise of provision. Isaiah's imagery of a desert transformed into a place of rivers is profound. It's not just a promise of physical sustenance, though it is, but it's more of a metaphor for our spiritual revival. This promise isn't an isolated one. It threads through all of Scripture, reminding us of God's constant sustaining hand, not just in the grand narrative of the Bible, but in the intimate details of our lives. In connecting these ancient promises to our contemporary reality, we recognize their ultimate fulfillment in Christ. You see, what I'd like you to do later today or maybe later this week is to turn on your own time to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, and there you will read Apostle Paul revealing to us a God who is not only a provider, but is our reconciler. In Christ, we see the epitome of God's provision, a broken relationship with God restored, our spiritual thirst quenched, and a new identity formed. This is the profound provision we find in Christ, one that supersedes all of our needs and encompasses all our longings. The communal aspect of God's provision is vividly portrayed in Isaiah's vision. It's not just an individual receiving water in their thirst, but it is a whole community being revived and refreshed. The vision is not just about personal renewal, but about collective restoration, a calling to the church to embody this refreshing oasis in a world that's a desert. It's about Crossbridge coming together, supporting one another, and growing together in Christ. Now, if we consider some practical considerations, let's remember that trusting in God's provision means more than just acknowledging his care. That's important. But it also means living it out, that we are making decisions, taking steps, and we are cultivating a lifestyle that reflects this trust. It means looking at our resources, our time, our talents, and asking how can we use these in acknowledgement of God's provision and in the service of his kingdom. And as we consider the coming year, it's vital to embed our actions and attitudes in the rich soil of God's promises. Consider this following statement. To think Christianly about our future hope is to long for Jesus Christ to return and fix everything that is lost and broken. We find much support throughout the whole counsel of Scripture. Revelation 21:4, death shall be no more. The former things have passed away. Romans 8:19 to 21, creation waits with eager longing. It will be set free from its bondage to corruption. 1 Corinthians 15:52 to 53, the perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. 2 Peter 3:13, waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Isaiah 65:17 brings it all to a head. I create, God says, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered. These verses and others in our Bible paint a clear picture that Jesus comes to make all things new, not just to make new things. This includes both spiritual and physical realms, each creature and all of creation. One day we can stop worrying about the brokenness we see all around us and within us. And instead, we will see Isaiah's vision unfold before our very eyes. Roads in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, and every beast honoring God as it was created before the fall. Can you see that? But even now, as we live in the already but not yet of salvation, we have immense hope because Christ has already defeated our greatest enemy, Satan. We've been freed from slavery under Satan. We look forward to living out this salvation in 2024 and beyond. As we conclude 2023 and step into the new year, we continue our five-year vision of raising up bridge builders aligned with our identity and mission. We address the fundamental challenges that oppose the change that's necessary for us to reach that vision. And those challenges, plans to overcome them, are crystallized in three strategies over the next 2 to 3 years. A key strategy of cultivating Sabbath culture was explored, and we will continue exploring in next year. The four core disciplines of Sabbath, of stop, of rest, of delight, and worship, these orient us to God. By stopping and resting, we acknowledge and live under his lordship. And in 2024, we will delve deeper into these practices so that it becomes second nature. And as we do, we'll find ourselves more deeply immersed in delighting and worshiping God. Another crucial strategy is group-driven growth. We aim for everyone who comes here to worship to also be in a group. So if you're not in a group, this is a chance for you to join a group. You see, group life is fundamental to the Christian life. It's not about choosing between worship and groups, but about embracing both, as together it teaches us how to love God and to love one another. For those yet ungrouped or currently between groups, January 28th marks an important day for us all. 1 month roughly from today, following that worship service, leaders from our home groups and fellowship groups will be prepared to meet with you and share with you and let you see afresh the very thing that God has prepared for you in a fuller experience of church life. You see, as we trust and act on God's provision as we enter into 2024 with eager hearts, we will embrace God's new work and live out our faith more fully daily. Our journey is a shared bridge. We cross over together, transforming every wilderness into rivers of provision for us and for those who will follow after us. And as we wrap up, let's think back on this trek that Isaiah has brought us through this day, from redemption to renewal. We rooted ourselves in the truth that God is our steadfast Redeemer, always present, especially when times get tough. Just as he remained with Israel amidst their trials, he stands with us, offering strength and assurance. It's time now to let go of what is behind us and look forward to what God is doing right now. We're not forgetting our past. We're just making sure it doesn't hold us back. God invites us into a new season filled with opportunities for growth and spiritual refreshment. Then we talked about truly trusting God's provision and acting on it. This is more than just agreeing inside our heads. It's about living it out, making those choices that show that we believe God provides abundantly and he cares for each of us deeply. As we look ahead to the coming year, let's proceed with enthusiasm and with openness to the new thing God is doing among us. We're in this together, building bridges, turning every challenge into a testament of God's provision and grace. Let's build not just for our benefit, but for all who will follow, paving ways of faith and hope. Please join me in prayer. Lord, help us to be alert and present to your new works as you make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Guide us with fresh vision and strength. May we embrace the brand new things you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.